Okay, before Rabbi Bravender starts his shiur, I have a couple of announcements for those watching the live stream and those listening to the podcast. After tonight, the shiur will be taking a break until Rosh Chodesh Elul, Wednesday evening, August 23rd. And on Tisha B'Av, please follow the events on webyeshiva.com/9av, 9av. All the Tisha B'Av events will be online this year, no live events. Here's Rabbi Bravender.
That's it. Well, here we are, Parshat Devarim. The story of the Meraglim, setting the Meraglim, what the Meraglim came back and said, is told in two places in the Torah. One is in the Parshat Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu supposedly is speaking to Bnei Yisrael in kind of a Musar mode. He tries to speak to them about what they have done wrong in the past and to warn them that in the future they should try to maintain a standard, a certain high standard. And so that in Shlach, in the Parsha of Shlach, which is the book of Bamidbar, that's where the story of the Meraglim actually takes place. So Shlach is the story of the Meraglim, and Bamidbar is Moshe Rabbeinu's rendition of what happened with the Meraglim. Strangely enough, the two stories are quite different, one from the other. The story in Shlach and the story in Devarim. So if we look at, since it's the parasha of Devarim, we'll look at the story of Devarim first. Remember, this is the story that Moshe Rabbeinu tells. Like, what happened? What did Bnei Yisrael do? What happened with the Meraglim? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Perek Aleph Pasuk Bet, it says, V'tikrivun Eilai Kulchan, you all came close to me. You all, meaning Bnei Yisrael. V'tomru Nishlecha Nashim Lefaneinu, send out people before us, nishlecha. That becomes a very important word, a very important root. Nishlecha, shin lamed chet, to send. But also, it's the word shaliach, as we will see, like a representative or an emissary, someone who is charged with doing a mitzvah on your behalf, a shaliach. Nishlecha nashim lefaneinu v'yachpuru lanu da'aretz v'yachpuru. Okay, chafira, to dig it up, to dig into things, to find out what's really going on. V'yashivu otanu davar, and they'll return to us with this information. Et haderech asher na'aleh ba, v'et ha'arim asher navo lehem. They'll tell us about the roads going into Eretz Canaan, and about the cities that we will come to. Pasuk of Gimel, interesting pasuk. Vayitav be'enai hadavar. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I thought that this was a great idea. Vayitav be'enai hadavar. Vakach mikem shneim asar anashim, ish echad l'shavet. And I took representing each tribe was represented by one person, and they became the Meraglim. This is the story that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling. Now, if we look at Rashi, okay, the first Rashi is quite famous. Rashi is trying to pinpoint who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. It's a little difficult in the story. So he says, Birbuvia. They came, all the people came, all mixed together. They didn't come in an orderly fashion. Ulahalanu omer, that further on in Dvarim, Vatikrivu Eli, Kol Rashay Shivtechem Vizikneichem, Vatomru Heineran, and later on there's a pasuk that says, Vatikrivun, they came close to me. And then that is further described, Rashay Shivtechem, first the leaders of the tribe, Zikdechem, the elders. So they didn't come all together. They came in groups. and distinguished themselves. So Vatomru Einer Anava Ota Kreva Haita Hogenet. He says, if you come in an orderly way, Rashi says, that's proper. That's the proper way to do it. Yeladim mechabdim et askenim ushlachum lifteihem. The children were giving honor to the elders and sent them ahead. So there were distinct. There were the Rashi Ashvatim, then the elders, then the children. They came. But in our case, it says v'tikrivud like olchem. They all came like a jumble of people. So it says Rashi says avokan v'tikrivud like olchem. You all came be'irbuvia, all mixed up. Yeladim dochafim et askenim. The children were pushing around the elders, and the skenim dochafim et arashim, and the elders were pushing around the leaders of the tribes. So what is Rashi telling us? Rashi says in these words, "Vatikrivun elai kulchem." You all came close to me. You sort of came in a hustle and a bustle all together. You already see that they were acting poorly. In the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the way they acted. And then Rashi continues, "V'yeshivu otanu davar be'ezer lashon heim midabrit." It's cute. "V'yeshivu otanu davar." What's a davar? The thing. But it also, the word davar doesn't just mean a thing, but it also means dibur, the way you speak. So Rashi said, why would Moshe Rabbeinu say to them, or why would they say to themselves, it doesn't matter. What do you think it is? Who said that? He says, "Vatigvun elai lochem, vatomru." You plural, Bnei Yisrael say, "Aluk pasuk kavbet, nishlecha nashim lefaneinu." Right? Nechperu lanu et haaretz. V'yashivu otanu davar. What is v'yashivu otanu davar? What does that mean? In other words, when they come and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu that they will look into the land, that they will spy out the land, doesn't that obviously mean that they're going to come back and tell us what they found? I mean, what do you mean? They're going to spy out the land for posterity? They're going to spy out the land for us. Right? So why do we have to say v'yashivu otanu davar? Of course they're going to yashivu otanu, what they find there. You have to say v'yeshivu otanu davar. So Rashi says, be'ezer lashon heim medabrim. You have to understand, Rashi was sensitive to this idea that the phrases in the Chumash should be meaningful. Now he doesn't always figure out how they're meaningful, but wherever he can, he does. So v'yeshivu otanu davar is not simply a repetition of the idea that if you're a spy, you're going to go and tell what you spy. But it says a specific request that we want to know what language they were speaking. Et haderech asher na'leba, ein derech she'ein ba k'mimut. There is no road that doesn't turn in some way, that doesn't have those bad turns. Ve'et ha'arim asher na'bo alehem, t'chila lichbos. So that it sounds like from Rashi, that the people who came to Moshe Rabbeinu to ask for the Meraglim had a legitimate question. They wanted to know things that were important. And this is something that the Ramban takes up at great length in the beginning of Shlach. And the Ramban tries to explain that what they asked for, what they wanted to know, was the kind of information that you should want to know. In other words, the fact that they knew that God was on their side, the fact that they knew that God was going to protect them and support them in this battle in Canaan, didn't mean that they shouldn't watch their step in tricky terrain. It didn't mean that if you weren't watching, you might fall off a ledge and break your head. That's not the case. So that going, even with God behind you, going to the place that you're going to attack, makes sense, Right? It makes sense that they do that, according to Rashi. You don't see in Rashi that there's a transgression. That's what I mean to say. So it reminds me, of the fact that in the story of the Meraglim, there are two points in time that have to be considered. There's Bnei Yisrael, or the request to send the Meraglim, and then there is listening to the Meraglim and coming to the wrong conclusion. Now the second part, listening to the Meraglim and coming to the wrong conclusion, is certainly the source of the transgression of Bnei Yisrael, for which they were punished with 38 years of draying around in the desert. But what about asking for the Meraglim? So it would seem that from up to here, asking for the Meraglim was not seen as by Rashi as being something terrible, but a reasonable thing to do. Vayitav b'einai hadavar. You see the next pasuk? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayitav b'einai hadavar. B'einai. V'lo b'einai makom. So here Rashi, I don't know exactly. Rashi wants me to think something that I was not thinking yet. V'im b'einai Moshe haya tov, lava amra b'tochechot. If Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was a good idea to send the Meraglim, why did he include it in Dvarim Perek Aleph, which is Tochacha, which is, you know, interdiction and insulting Bnei Yisrael about their past transgressions? Mashal Adam, and that is a famous mashal that Rashi brings. Shomel Chaviro, Becholi Chamorcha Zeh. Somebody says, can you sell me your car, your brand new car? He says, Amar lo hein. He says, okay. So he says, and to know at that lily, say, young, will you give it to me for a little drive around the hill here and see how it drives? Notin Amar lo hein. Baharibu Gvaot, do you let me take this car for a trial run on the hills and the valleys? Amar lo hein. Kevan shirash makvo klum. Amar halokech belibo batuach hu zeh shelo emtza bo mum. So the guy who wants to buy the car says, well, if he's willing to let me drive it all over on a test run, obviously he thinks the car is in good shape. So I'll buy it without testing it. Right? Everybody thinks that's how it is. That's called business. Everybody thinks they're fooling the other person. We don't know about that. So he says, "Kevin Shirashay Makvo Kluba Amar Lokech Belibo Batuach Uzeh Shalom Tzaba Mumiyad Amar Lo Tol Mo'utecha Ve'eini Menaseihu." So he says, "Here's the money. I don't have to test it. I can see from your response that this car is really in good shape. Me'ata, listen to this. Afa Nihodeiti LeDivreichem." He says, and that's why I, Moshe Rabbeinu, agreed to your words. Sheva tatsuru b'chem shetir'u she'eini ma'akev v'atem lo chazartem b'chem. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, this was my intention, that I would say yes, and that you would say, well, in that case, there's no point in us sending Meraglim. Because obviously you, Moshe Rabbeinu, have nothing to hide. So, but it didn't work. It didn't work. So what does Rashi tell us? Vayitav b'einai hadavar. What pshat is Rashi not willing to accept about vayitav b'einai hadavar? Rashi is not willing to accept the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was totally off. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, great idea, send the Meraglim. And it ended in the greatest tragedy for Am Yisrael. That belies his position of leadership. Can't be that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. So according to Rashi, it was a trick on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu in the hope that they would change their minds and not want to go. And that in turn is based on the idea that the very fact that they wanted to go to send Meraglim implies that they had that they were sinning, that they were thinking about not going. They were wondering about how God could send them to such a God-forsaken place. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Okay, all right. We'll do another pasuk. It says pasuk Tav Dalet. So they went up to the mountain and they came to the river called Eshkol and they looked into it. So the Ramban brings a list of questions about this whole way that Rashi is looking at it. And some of the questions are contained in the story. And some come from other stories. For example, the Ramban mentions the fact that Yehoshua ben Nun, when he was about to conquer Jericho, yes? Jericho, so Jericho was not counted, was conquered in a kind of a non-military act. They ran around the city, they blew the shofar, they did it for 6 days, and the walls came a tumbling down. So there was very little reason. There's very little reason to spy out the city. And yet, Yehoshua sent two meraglim. After Yeshua was a student of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, he knew what happened the last time they sent meraglim. And it must have been in his mind, Yehoshua said, this is something you should do. This is something that should happen, sending the meraglim. So you see, the Ramban says, I mean, I'm not going to bring all the cases that the Ramban quotes, but you say the Ramban quotes the case of Yehoshua ben Nun. And he says, how is it possible that Yehoshua ben Nun, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, who understood how terrible the consequences of sending the Meraglim were, how did he agree to send the Meraglim? And then further in the story of Yehoshua ben Nun, there is a further question. The story is told in the first chapter of Yehoshua. Of the book of Yehoshua, and that is that the Meraglim, the spies that Yehoshua sent, were totally ineffective and really didn't collect any information at all. They came to Jericho, these spies, and they were spied. They were spied, and they ran away to hide in the house of Rechava Zonah, right? You know Rechava Zonah? That's every woman. Rechava Zonah, every woman. She's like, no pretentiousness to her. You know, she's like a real person. A real person, not high order, not just have a special standing. Every woman, like every man. So she hid them. She hid the spies, but it was a deal. I mean, maybe she was a good person, I don't know. But she got a deal. And the deal was that when they come and they conquer the land, they will spare her and her family. Right? So she made a deal. She understood. Then the spies run away. The police, the local police, run after them. And they escape back to the camp of Yehoshua. Got it? Got the story so far? So I'll just tell you the end of the story. The end of the story is that they go to be debriefed by Yehoshua ben Nun. He says, what are they going to debrief about the address of Rechava Zonah? I mean, you can't say that they were successful spies. Well, what if they didn't get to spy anything out? They spent most of their time hiding or running away.
Well, they got the information from her that they were fearful. So the intelligence was that they were a nation that was afraid of them. That's important information.
Oh, that's interesting the way you say it. I mean, what you say is correct, but I think the emphasis is a little wrong. What she said was they were fearful because they knew that it was God's will. No, there's a big difference. And when they came back to Yehoshua, that's what they told Yehoshua. They said, well, they're afraid. How'd they know they were afraid? And they were afraid of God's vengeance upon them. How'd they know? Because Rechav told them, that's all. One person told them. told the spies, and the spies reported that one thing to Yoshua ben Nun. So it seemed to me that what Yoshua ben Nun was trying to find out was whether there was a moral basis for the victory over the Canaanites. And the moral basis came because the Canaanites would deny, not because they denied Bnei Israel their right in Eretz Israel, about that you could be mistaken, but they denied God's authority in Eretz Israel. And if they denied God's authority, they were liable to punishment. And that's what Yoshua ben Nun sent the Meraglim to find out. And that's exactly what they found out. So that according to the story of Yoshua ben Nun, there's a legitimate reason for sending the Meraglim. I think according to your explanation, that doesn't give me a legitimate reason for sending Meraglim. Because what difference to me if they're afraid or they're not afraid? If God is going to destroy the city of Jericho, and the walls are going to tumble down, then it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not a military question. Not a question about if we'll be successful or won't be successful. The second battle that they had in Eretz Israel was about the eye. And that's when Yoshua said, Shemen Begibon Dom. So if you could stop the sun and the moon from traversing the heavens, you're certainly going to win. That was not the issue. So they didn't need spies for that. So whatever the reason was that Yoshua sent the spies, and whatever the reason was that they were acting in Eretz Canaan in a kind of a representative of God's manner, that was a reason. And that reason could be applied to this case as well. But Rashi says no. That the very fact that they, first of all, Rashi says, that means that they came in a jumble of people. They weren't in an order. Order always represents, and this is the Maharal always points this out, order always represents the higher kind of state rather than everything being mixed together. So they came in a disorderly fashion. And then it says that Moshe Rabbeinu sort of lied to them. He didn't really mean it. He didn't really think that they should do it, but he wanted to give them the opportunity to do tshuva. So that's the story. That's the story in Dvarim, according to Rashi. But if you look at the other story, the story in Shalach, just turn the page. So the story in Shalach, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, the top of the page, Shalach lecha anashim v'yaturu Eretz Kenan, Asher ani notein l'bnei Yisrael, ish echad, matei avotav, tishlachu kol nasi b'ahem. So Shalach lecha anashim. Who says Shalach lecha anashim? Well, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shalach lecha anashim. And if you were in Ulpan and somebody asked you, what is the form of the verb shalach? I'll give you the options, avar, hover, ati, tzivui. So what would you say? Tzivui. You would say tzivui. That would be the correct answer. But only in Ulpan. In other places, they give a different answer. But in Ulpan, shalach is a tzivui. A tzivui is another way of saying a mitzvah. We know there are different kinds of mitzvah. We have mitzvot. There are mitzvot forever, and there are mitzvot temporarily. But even temporary mitzvot are mitzvot. And you have to do them. You have to do the mitzvot. So if it says, Shlach lecha anashim, so a way of interpreting the pasuk is that God told Moshe Rabbeinu that there's a mitzvah to send the meraglim. So it's a mitzvah to send the meraglim. Certainly you can't fault Bnei Yisrael for sending them. So even if you fault Bnei Yisrael for asking for Meraglim, somehow, that's what Vayita Beinai HaDavar, that even if you fault Bnei Yisrael for wanting to send the Meraglim, at the end it seems that they sent the Meraglim under God's auspices. God said, send them. Shlach the Meraglim, Rashi says, Lava nismecha parashat Meraglim leparashat Miriam. What's the connection between the Meraglim and the death of Miriam? Lefi shelaktal iskei diba shedibra ba'achiha. She, after all, was punished because she spoke lashon hara about her brother. Her brother's Moshe Rabbeinu. Urisha'im halalu ra'u v'lo lachu musar. And these Rishaim, who are the Rishaim in this Rashi?
The Tenderolim.
What?
The Tenderolim.
The what?
The ones that...
Not the Meraglim. Rishaim halalu. Who's halalu? These. These Rishaim, the ones who wanted to send the Meraglim. The ones who wanted to send the Meraglim. Is that what we're talking about? He says, Shlach lecha anashim. Shlach lecha anashim. Who is the one? Who are the ones who spoke lashon hara? The ones who spoke lashon hara eventually were the people. They weren't the meraglim. What did the meraglim do? The meraglim, the rishonim all say that meraglim told the truth. They said there were big cities and big people and strong people and tough. It'll be a tough war. It'll be hard to do. Right? They didn't say anything. They didn't say lashon hara. The ones who looked for lashon hara, the people who came to Moshe Rabbeinu, apparently. So now listen, shlach lecha. Look at Rashi. Ledatcha. Shlach lecha ledatcha. Shlach lecha means send. Send them. But Rashi says ledatcha. What does ledatcha mean?
If you want.
What?
If you like. It's your idea.
It's the opposite of what it says. Mm-hmm. It says shalach lecha, which means a command. And Rashi's explanation is ledatcha, if you want. It's up to you. You're not being commanded. Right? So forever after, this word shalach remains unclear. And that's what Rashi does. Rashi, in one kind of step, made the whole thing unclear. I don't know anymore. I thought that I knew that it was a command that Moshe, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, send them. Rashi says, ledatcha. That's it. Send them if you want to send them. Send them if you want to send them. Ani eini mitzave lecha. I mean, Rashi, you know, has broad shoulders, Rashi. He says things that other people, you'd say, you can't say that. Im tirtze shalach. If you want to, send them. Lefisha bau Yisrael v'amru, and then he quotes the pasuk that we read in Dvarim, Nishlecha nashim lefaneinu. Let us send people who will go before us. Kimo she'ne'emar v'tikrivun elai kulchem. Remember v'tikrivun, v'irbuvia, they all came together, Rashi said. U'moshe nimlach b'shchina. Which means, Moshe Rabbeinu, what does Nimlach mean?
Consulted.
Yefe, consulted. Asked for advice of Shekhinah, of heaven. It's like a great story. It's like a play. This could be like the first act of the play. The people come and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to send Meraglim. And we say that Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, it's either the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. I mean, what's their motive? And then he says, "Va'itav be'inai hadavar." He says, "Maybe some good will come of it. I mean, if they're a little nervous about going to Eretz Kanan, maybe they'll decide that they can do it without sending meraglim." So I say, so Moshe Rabbeinu says yes, but before he says yes, he consults with God. He consults with God. Moshe nimlach b'shchina. Amar ani amati lahem shehi tova. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Look, I told them that Eretz Kanan is a great place to be." Ani amarti lahem shenemar elei etcham me'oni Mitzrayim chayehem shani noten lahem makom lit'ot b'divrei hameraglim lema'an lo yirashu. I have no idea what that means. Chayehem is like an oath, taking an oath. Shani noten lahem makom lit'ot. I'm giving them the opportunity to make a mistake b'divrei hameraglim. Who's speaking? Who's giving the opportunity?
Moshe.
Moshe? Okay. Let's say Moshe. In other words, Moshe, Moshe says, okay, I have this, it just came up, I can give them the opportunity to mess up. So I think if you learn the Rashi, if you go through the Rashi, you go through the Rashi again, you would think that there is some difficulty in understanding it at this point, at the beginning, who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. Like, was it a good idea? Now the Ramban expands upon that. And he says, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu told them what to look for. He told them to look at the cities. Were they big? Were they strong? Were they weak? Were the people big and strong or weak? And that's what they did. They came back and they reported to Moshe Rabbeinu exactly what he asked them to report. So it's very hard to understand who the bad guys are, or if there is a bad guy. I mean, the bad guy could be Moshe Rabbeinu, who could have perhaps stopped them. I mean, what is this idea of giving them this opportunity to stop themselves or to test themselves? Why do that? Why put them in that kind of position? So if you look at the Ramban on line, a little bit of the Ramban, line 35, you see where there's a new paragraph, line 36. V'chein yira'ot she'em sh'alu m'moshe nishlicha nashim lefaneinu v'yachbru lanu et ha'aretz. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, let's send men before us and they'll look into the land. Right, that same pasuk that Rashi quoted here, and that comes from Dvarim Perek Aleph. V'hu chipus badrachim, and that they should look, check out the roads. U'v'inyan hakibush, b'inyan hakibush, mi'lishon chet peiresh, chafar ochel, to look for food. V'zet ha'am lefaneinu, that's what lefadenu means, that they'll follow them. They call them in the army, they just call them scouts. You know, those, the guys who ran around in little jeeps and sort of like made believe that they were scouting up the land, whatever they were doing.
What's this about
who?
Singular.
Who? I don't understand. Which word?
Tvarim Aleph Kaf Bet Who?
Avahu, that is to say, chipus badrachim, looking in the roads.
Not here.
No. Vahu, the reference is chipus badrachim. V'zetam lefanenu shirum achreihem al darkam kilishon v'aron brit Hashem nosea lifnehem. Aval Hashem tziva, listen, Hashem tziva, God did command that they should look into, right, the Hebrew word tur, which is the English word tur, which is itself an interesting point. They'll find the lay of the land somehow. It's like when you go to buy something, you go to look and see which is the best deal, right? What's the nicest looking, whatever it is you're looking for? What's the best price? You know, that's breida, checking it out. Kibaim liknot davar milishon levad me'anshei atarim vasocharim. In a pasuk, tarim are the ones who, and socharim are the ones who have the stuff. And they go around, you know, they put it all on a donkey or something, and they go from place to place, and they sell. They graduate from the donkey to the wagon, from the wagon to something bigger. V'chein el ha'aras asher tarti lahem, another case of the pasuk. V'chein latur lahem menucha. V'al kein, I'm now at the end of 38, I guess. V'al kein tziva, 39 it was. Otan Moshe lifrot hatova hi imra'a. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to come back and tell them hatova hi imra'a. Is it good? Is it bad? It's like you want to know. You're getting something. You're getting Eretz Kedad. So according to the Ramban, this is a reasonable question to ask. Where's the better part of it? Where's the part that, you know, where's the beach? Where's the sun? Where's the all of that makes a lot of sense.
They remember what happened to Abraham. They have this in the history. Abraham comes to this land, he's 2 weeks, 2 sentences later, he's got a free.
He what?
They remember their history, that Abraham came to this land, or what happened 2 sentences later, they go to Egypt to find food. They just ran away from Egypt.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what the Ramban is saying. But you're right, of course, in the reference. But what the Ramban is saying is that the questions that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Meraglim, he gave them instructions. After all, he didn't say go and spy out the land. He said, "I want you to find out specific things." So the things he wanted them to find out were, according to the Ramban, the kinds of things that you want to know, even if you're getting it for free, even if it's not a real problem. So that this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Alkein tzivah otam Moshe lefrot ha-tovah hi imra'a," that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to them. I want you to tell me if it's good or if it's bad. So the way the Ramban understands that is, everything you buy, everything you get, has a better part and a less good part. I want you to tell me which is the good part and the bad part. Hashmeinahi imrazna. Is it fat? Is it thin? Meaning whatever grows there, the animals or the crops. Right? That's what I want to know. This has nothing to do with fighting a battle. This has to do, according to the Ramban, with encouraging the people to the point where they want it. They wanted, like, if they got an inheritance, I mean, that's really what happened. They received an inheritance, and they had never been there. They had never been in that land. And so Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to use the Meraglim in order to whet their appetite, that they should be interested in cashing in on their inheritance, and not thinking that it's just a place where nobody wants to go. I told you the story with the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes was the first Hasidish Rebbe to have a positive attitude to Eretz Yisrael. And he told the Hasidim in Poland, he was the Ger in those days, even those days before World War II, was the biggest Hasidut in Europe. So he told the Hasidim to buy land. There were these itinerant guys who came from Yerushalayim, or from Israel, and they went to Europe, and they would sell you a dunam of land here and a dunam of land there. Nobody knew exactly what they were buying, but it was sort of like a donation. They gave money to the Keren Chayemet, so the Keren Chayemet bought the land and kept it. But if you gave money to these guys, So you got something, you got a deed, and it said you owned a dunam here, a dunam there. And so all these Hasidim came to Israel. They came in Aliyah, again, before World War II, and they went to see what they had bought. And of course, there was no infrastructure any place. It was just stones, and there was nothing there. So they went and complained to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe said, anybody who wants to give up the land that they bought, I'll buy it from them. And he did. And so he became the owner of Herzliya Pituach and Tzfon Tel Aviv and Kfar Saba. You know, because in those days, they just sold places, that there's nothing there. There's nothing there. So you've never heard of Ger raising money. Because they have too much money to raise money. So that's so that there are different reasons for spying out something that you're getting for nothing. That's what the Ramban says. God said you're going to get everything. You can get it. So I would say to the people, say, I want to know what I'm going to get. So Moshe Rabbeinu tried to dissuade them from the big picture, like, should we do it? And said, no, I want to tell you what you're going to get. You know, you're going to get the, there'll be the shore, and there'll be the mountains, and there'll be the hot part, the cold part. You'll have all this kind of weather in Eretz Yisrael. Now, again, I'm on line 42. Al dat rabotenu chatu b'amram nishlecha nashim lefaneinu. There's another opinion that he quotes, rabotenu, who said that nishlecha nashim lefaneinu will send Even though he, the Ramban, says it's perfectly reasonable that there should be nishtacha nashim lefanem, there should be scouts, people who go before. In other words, what the Ramban is doing is putting off, he's trying to push away the transgression to the time after the Meraglim returned and Bnei Yisrael got very nervous about it, and also to try to help me understand how it's possible that Moshe Rabbeinu would agree that they should be allowed to trap themselves, to entrap themselves in this way. So he's showing you that Moshe Rabbeinu worked against it. He tried to devise the charge to the spies such that they would never have to change. Okay? So then, this will finish this. We'll finish this. I'm line 46. Al pi Hashem kashaya bepkudim ubechiluk haaretz ki mitzvat Hashem lo tavo bo takala lo oseh ha veshomrei mitzvah lo yedad davar ra. So this is a, he says, Anashim Eile, look, you see line 46, Hine Anashim Eile lo nikvu b'shemot al pi Hashem. These people who eventually sinned, very interesting idea that he ends with, and it's important for us. Lo nikvu b'shemot al pi Hashem kasher haya b'pkudim. But when they were counted by name. Uvichiluk haaretz, right further on this is Shlach, this is the Rabban and Shlach in Pinchas. Ki mitzvat Hashem lo tavo bo takala lo osel. So he says, obviously, God said Shlach lecha. What did Rashi say? That it wasn't a command. But what does the Ramban say? It was a command. They were commanded by God to go. So why is it that the names of the people who sinned ultimately when the Meraglim came back are not mentioned? Because mitzvat Hashem lo tavo bo takala lo oseha. That if they what did they do? They followed the mitzvah that God gave them. So lo tavo bo takala lo oseha v'shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. And someone who keeps the mitzvah, nothing bad will happen. Rakhu yitbarach tziva leMoshe ish echad lematei avotav tishlachu v'sheyu nesiyim. UMoshe midato birer et eile ushilachum v'hein gamlu lenafsham re'ah. So that the ones who went, the Meraglim, were not exactly appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, they went on their own and they came back. So you have these themes, this idea in the Ramban, that in the Pshat, that according to Pshat, Shachacha must mean it's a mitzvah, do it. And the Ramban goes on to explain, that everything that happened, all the things that the Meraglim looked into, and all the information they came back with, was legitimate information, and it was understandable that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted this information, and the fact that Bnei Yisrael managed to turn this into a bad moment in Jewish history has nothing to do with us. Now let's look at the Sfat Emet. Since I mentioned the Ger Rebbe, I mentioned the Imramis. The story that I told you is about the Imramis. The Medrash. This is the Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet on the Torah. I always say, to remember the Sfat Emet was the second Gerer Rebbe. Right? Huh? The first Gerer Rebbe is the Chedushi Arim. Chedushi Arim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir. And he was a son-in-law of the Zibuk Sheni of the Kotzker. And Ger, even though they have no, it's not like Kotzk at all in any way. I mean, I don't know anything about Kotzk, only what I read. I mean, you know, I never participated in Kotzk, but what you can read about it. It's very, Chassidut in general is very popular today in the Israeli academic world. They run out of topics, so they enter Chassidut.
Is there Kotzks today?
In Bnei Brak, I think there's a Rebbe, but I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know what his relationship really is. לא שומע.
הקוסטר לא
קשור לסוכות שם? אני עדיין לא שומע.
הקוסטר קשור לסוכות שם, לא?
סוכות שם.
כן, קוסטר.
קוסטר היה מסוים.
כן, נכון. אלו היו חסידי פולניה. חסידות של פולניה היה, הגדול ביותר היה גר, השני היה אלכסנדר. אלכסנדר יש היום, I'm sorry. Alexander is Alexander in Bnei Brak. And Sochachev still exists in Bajvagan, sort of. I don't know if there's a Rebbe. But the Shem Yishmuel, who's helped us out on occasion, was Sochachev. So look what it says in the Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet became very popular. He was also very popular in Yerushalayim for a long time. Because the Chassidut, I'll tell you, I don't mean to be cynical about it, but the Chassidut was a lot smaller. And he was very open to people who were not Chassidim, coming to see him and talk to him. And he apparently was a very attractive person. And a lot of people would come to see him. He had a very large following of non-Hasidim. And today, since the Hasidut is so big, the Rebbe probably doesn't have too much time to deal with people who are not Hasidim. He probably doesn't have time to deal with people who are Hasidim either. But that's one of the problems of success. So Ger is very successful. When I came to Israel 55 years ago, there were no Ger yeshivas. It was in Tel Aviv, there was a Ger yeshiva. Today, there are endless numbers of them. Okay. This is what the Sfat Emet says. The Medrash, he quotes a Medrash, Shlichei Mitzvah. You have to remember the Ramban. Let's remember what the Ramban said. Shlichei Mitzvah. A person is a shalich to do a mitzvah on behalf of his whoever sent him. Shenotnim nafsham b'shlichutam. This is what it says in the Medrash. They give their hearts and souls to fulfill their charge. Adoni Ovis Gedi Mori Rabbis, that's the Chidushi Arim. Right? That's the Chidushi Arim. Ragil Omar, he would say, Kigam Adam Avakaye Misvat Bor O She Nishtalach Ba'olam Hazeh Kidei La'asod Ritzono Nitbarach. He says, a person who is supposed to do God's will in this world, Nikra Shlichei Mitzvah Vadai. So any person that does God's bidding is called Shlichei Mitzvah. God sent him to shake the lulav. God sent him to eat a matzah. Right? That's called a Shlichei Mitzvah. Dekashe l'hamidrash matzivui ha-shlichut ma'achar shelo hutav b'einei Hashem. He says, it's hard to understand why the pasuk says shalach lecha. Like, what was it that God wanted? After all, it turned out to be a mess. And how could God's desire, or fulfilling God's desire, turn out to be a mess? It should turn out to be good. I mean, they were doing the mitzvah. He says, "Dekashela medrash matzivui ashlichut me'achar shelo hutav b'nei Hashem rake ya etza." Linatzel al yedei shashem yitbarach asa mizeh mitzvah. This was just a trick that they came and they said, we want to send meraglim, we want to send spies, and God turned it into a mitzvah, which is what Rashi sort of said. Mizeh mitzvah. Vayah lahem leilech b'torat mitzvah. So the meraglim should have gone feeling that they were doing a mitzvah. Afki hayaret sonam atzmam l'shloach meraglim mikol makom atash hayalem tzivui ma'ashem yitbarach היו צריכים למסור ולבטל רצונם, לעשות רק כדי לעשות רצון השם יתברך, וממילא היו ניצולים. What do you think of that? So the Sfat HaBet says, this is what happened. They came and they wanted to send spies. The people wanted to send spies. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll tell you what we'll do. Moshe came to consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Rashi. What should I do? Do what you want. But I'm going to help you. I'm going to turn it into a mitzvah. I'm going to turn this act which B'nai Yisrael want to accomplish into a mitzvah. And once it's a mitzvah, then they'll understand that it can be moser nefesh to do what God wants them to do, even when it comes to shlichut ha-meraglim. Ayu tzuchim limsor libam ritzon lasod, rakedei lasod ritzon Hashem yitbarach, u'memeila yunitzolim, and they would certainly be saved. Ofen zeh, hayat tov ha-shlichut, and this was the positive of sending these miraglim, these spies. V'zeh she'amar le'mor she'yedu shu tzivui Hashem yitbarach kanal. V'chein b'kol mitzvah. And then he generalizes. You see v'chein b'kol mitzvah? It's the sixth line, towards the end, the last five words. V'chein b'kol mitzvah. This is true about every mitzvah in the Torah. Im ha'adam mevatel ba'emet kol ritzono. If you deny your own will, like there are things sometimes you do a mitzvah, but you want to do it. Like you're hungry, you eat a matzah, so you're happy there's a matzah to eat. So you eat the matzah. Maybe ordinarily you wouldn't be so happy about eating the matzah, but when there's no choice, so you're happy. So that's called doing the mitzvah with more of yourself. Ba'ofen zeh haya tov hashlichut. He says, "Bemet kol ritzonav lo lizkot l'madregot rak kedei lasot ritzon Hashem bilvad." So the highest level of doing the mitzvah is, I'm only doing it because God wants me to do it. I don't have any interest. I have no connection. It's not the cover that I'm going to get, and it's not what people are going to say about me, and it's not nothing like that. It's just doing the mitzvah bilvad nikra. This is called Mesirut Nefesh, because it's with your soul that you're doing the mitzvah. It's with the essence of yourself that you are doing this mitzvah. Because if you do it because you want to do it, and this is halachically correct, those of you, if you learn the Gemara about Shlichut, right? Shlichut, that the Shaliach, the emissary, has to do it entirely for the person who sent him. He can't do it for himself. So if a man sends his friend to marry a woman on his behalf, he's got to do it for the man who sent him. He can't do it for himself. He can't allow himself to be also involved a little bit and say, well, you know, 80% he'll marry her, 20% I'll marry her. That's not going to work. So you see,
if he gets paid,
he might not. It's not relevant. He imitzarev chevtzo eino shaliach. Because if he includes himself, his own desire, he's not called a shaliach. V'zeh she'amar b'shlichei Yehoshua cheresh she'asu atzman kadarim. That's why it says in the emissaries that Yehoshua said cheresh. That word cheresh, right, to dig it out. And that means, in the Medrash says, she'asu atzman kadarin, they made themselves into, you know, people who make pots, clay pots. B'shamati, me'adoni, mori, uskeni, zal, she'kevan, she'halchu le'isha zona, u'tzuchu le'vatel ergei she'lahem, v'zeu charash v'chulei. So my grandfather said, "Pshat, why were they? What did they have to overcome? What did they have to overcome to do the mitzvah of spying out the land when Yehoshua sent them to Jericho?" He says, "Well, that's what it means. They came to the house of a prostitute, so they had to control their own interests, their own urges, in order to do the mitzvah." as it was, described. So we say this. We all agree that when the Jews heard the Meraglim and turned their backs on Eretz Yisrael, that was certainly unacceptable, and that for that they were punished by a 38-year sojourn in the desert, right? 2 years before this time, and then 38 years after this time. However, when it came to creating the vehicle that produced this great transgression, it's not clear when the transgression of Bnei Yisrael started, right? According to Rashi, it started when they all came together. Batikrivun Eli Kuchem, they came in a jumble, in a mess. And that was an indication that they were not thinking straight, and they were not sure of themselves. That's what Rashi says. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, just 1 second. Moshe said, which sounds like it means that he approved of it, but actually the description that ensues is that they were on shaky grounds. It's true that they wanted, that they had their reason for sending the Meraglim was not acceptable, was not good. But Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he could modify it by asking specific questions and sending them to do specific things, to which the Ramban adds that the other examples of sending Meraglim are reasonable. Even if you knew that God was going to support you, sending the Meraglim was a reasonable thing to do. Finally, the Ramban said, you know, harps on that word, shlach, which is like the word shaliach. Right, the word, and he starts talking about it, but the Sfat Emet finishes the conversation. And the Sfat Emet says that a shaliach is a person who is totally given to the charge that he has received. He's totally involved in the shlichut. And that was the opportunity that Bnei Yisrael missed out on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he could send the Meraglim and maybe he would be able to pull it out, to make it work, because he'll ask all these specific questions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to help you. I'm going to turn it into a mitzvah. And by turning it into a mitzvah, there'll be a greater sense that they will be able to kind of get through this problem. It didn't happen, but the opportunity afforded itself and is implied in the words, Shalach Lecha Hashem.